Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Munga.
Good afternoon, Brother Sam, and our listeners. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
We are doing very well.
Lovely. Great to have you on the show this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Lovely, lovely. Always a pleasure talking to you.
The pleasure is mine too.
Now, in today's increasingly complex world, the intersection of faith and mental health is gaining recognition as a vital aspect of holistic well-being. Many Christians, spiritual, soulless, but also practical tools for managing physical and emotional and also mental health challenges. And so this week we want to be looking at how our faith should impact on our emotional well-being. Normally we talk about these things when we are at work and in a corporate world, etc. And I think that religious spaces should also, get into that type of discussion. Now, Pastor, what does the Bible say, if at all, about God's desire for our emotional well-being?
Thank you very much, Brother Sam, and our listeners. The Bible says a lot about our emotional well-being. One of the emotions that are very common to us is that of worry. You hear Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 1, down to 3, let not your heart be troubled. Then we come to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on your body. So, and you look at the whole sermon on chapter 6 in Matthew, the critical thing that Jesus is addressing there is about worry.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, you find there's a lot of fear not, although you also find it in the New Testament, fear not. Human beings are filled with worry. And no wonder right from creation story there, you'll be interested to learn that in Genesis chapter 3, before Genesis chapter 3, the kind of food that was there before sin did not include vegetables. Vegetables were introduced after sin. And one of the things we find in vegetables is alkaline. Alkaline helps in reducing fear. So even right from there, this emotional well-being is tackled. And when Jesus talks about the things that we worry about mostly, what am I going to eat? Even when one talks about looking for a job, you know, you are not looking for a job. You are looking for money to buy food on the table. You are looking for money to buy clothes. You are looking for money for shelter. And you find Jesus addressing this. He compares that to beds, how they are clothed, how they find their food. And he says, if I take care of this, what about you? So we find that the Bible addresses that desire of our emotional well-being. No wonder Jesus talks so much about us not getting worried.
Now, you know, thank you, Pastor, for that. Now, you do say that, Christ does say, worry not. In some places it says, fear not. Do you think he thinks that our problems are trivial? I mean, he can solve them in a blink of an eye. Instead of saying, don't worry, he can just easily, literally in a click of a hand. So does he grasp that we sometimes get extremely stressed, or perhaps he thinks we're just being dramatic?
No, he does. Like we have talked about here, when you look at him, the lengths he would go to address this challenge of worry, he goes to Solomon. Look at how he was dressed. Look at the flowers. Look at the beds. He's just addressing one issue, meaning even to him, he does not make it it's a small thing. No, it's a big issue. But what he does above all things now to put our priorities right, instead of getting worried, he says there's something that you have to do. Where we find that verse of, but seek ye first, after he has talked about us not worrying, but he says there's something that you can do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And someone defined worry to be the opposite of meditation. Worry is when you think about your problems throughout. Meditation is when you think about God throughout. So it says, instead of you worrying, because worry takes a lot of energy, emotional energy, even the physical energy, is also, when you worry, you are drained. You lose strength. So even Jesus does not look at it to be small, but he says, put your priorities right. And when you put your priorities right, things are sorted out. No wonder you find that children do not have any anxiety. They don't have worry. Why? Because children have got something that we lose as we grow up, dependency syndrome. They depend upon their parents 100%.
Yeah.
A lesson that we are supposed to pick to from them, that we also have to depend upon God 100%. But it's like as we grow up, we reduce that dependence, and then worry also start replacing that dependence, and then we are overtaken.
Now, are there any examples found in Scripture of people who endured and overcame tremendous emotional stress?
There are a lot of examples. When you read the book of Jeremiah, actually, he's called the weeping prophet. He's talking to God. Are you like a giant who cannot help? He is a prophet. He's thrown in a pit. He's thrown in prison. He talks on behalf of God, but what happens is something else. And then you find that book there, Lamentation. All that it has to do with the someone who is passing through a lot of emotional stress. And one good example we can find is in 1 Kings chapter 19, where we find the man Elijah there. When he was threatened by Jezebel, that tomorrow, remember after the Mount Carmel showdown, where he killed the prophets, he prayed for the rains, and then Jezebel is not happy, and he threatens the life of the man of God, Elijah. We are told he ran away. When he reached a certain point, he left the servant there, and he ran for one day. Now, this is not a youth. This is an old man who is running for one day. That was not easy. That was deep emotional stress there. And then when he rests, let me just read verse 4. This is 1 Kings chapter 19. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not worthy. For I am not better than my fathers. And he slept under a juniper tree. So, that is a real emotional distress, where someone has got those suicidal thoughts, it's just better for me to die. And that is after running away for one day.
Yeah.
That is one example that we find about someone facing tremendous emotional distress.
Now, can biblical solutions still work in this modern age with the modern problems? I mean, these problems that we are seeing these days, doesn't look like these problems have ever been there since time immemorial. I mean, we've got a new set of problems. can we have biblical solutions? The problems that I see today, my goodness.
The digital problems.
My goodness, digital problems.
No, they can be solved. When you look at this same account of Elijah, that verse there, verse 5, and he slept, he lay down. And then the Bible says, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. He looked, and there was food there. He eats the food, he drinks water. After a while again, the same angel comes, gives him food. He eats and then some water. Then after that, he talks to him, say, what are you doing here? And that is a healing process. What we find there is care. When you are distressed, when you are passing through a lot of emotional distress, you need someone who cares. God did not come to rebuke him, but he comes first to give him food.
Yeah.
He has been running for a day. So the first thing that he needs is food. In other words, to refresh him, he takes some refreshment. It's like we met someone in Johannesburg. Pastor Munga, you are passing through this. And even before you talk, let's go to this cafe. Let's have something to drink. You are cooling me down. And this is what we see here. Elijah is taken to a cafe. He's given some food, some water. And after that, now he says, what are you doing here? And Elijah pours himself out. And that is what is required when someone is passing through some emotional turmoil, to pour yourself out, to say what is burning you. Elijah talks about, no, I have done this, I've done this. Now everyone is scattered. No one's after God. I'm the only one remaining, and they want to take my life. That narration is part of healing. You pour your feelings.
Yeah.
You remember even Jesus used the same formula to those people who are going to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. He interviews him. What is going on? No, there's this and that has happened. What has happened? Are you not the only one who is away? And then they started narrating. He's calming them down. They are disappointed. They are passing through emotional distress. And he calms them down. When they calm down, that's when he reveals himself. So these are solutions that we are using more than 3,000 years ago. They still work even today.
Man, it's actually good to know that even in this digital age, we still can have solutions that are suggested by Scripture. Now, Pastor, I'm going to let you go. But before I do, perhaps a point of emphasis from today's discussion?
The point of emphasis that there is no problem that is beyond God's solution. Every problem that we have even today, when we turn to him, like with that verse that we mentioned in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, when we turn to him, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added. In other words, all the things that you are worried about, he has already taken care of them. Any problem that you have does not take God by surprise. Oh, this is what has happened. Ah, let me see what I can do. No, he has answers on the table already. We just have to turn to him.
Beautiful stuff. Pastor, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow again at the same time and same place.
It's a pleasure. God bless you and God bless our listeners.
Blessings to you. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.